Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Felder, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truth to change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Felder.
Okay, good afternoon to those of you here in the studio, and good morning or good evening or whatever it may be where you're watching us on television. But we want you to feel welcome to just a simple Bible study. And we've gone through from Genesis to Revelation, pretty much chapter and verse, and now we're just collecting the dots, sort of an overview in a review situation, but we're not covering it verse by verse like we did the first time. So anyway, for those of you that may have just tuned in, that's what we're doing on the present programs. And again, we always want to thank our television audience for your prayer support, your financial help, and your encouraging letters. I'll never stop thanking you for the encouraging mail time that we experience. It just always makes our day, doesn't it, honey? And when the girls in the office read them and hear the phone calls, they're just as thrilled as we are. All right, now this is the beginning of book 77. I thought of it. This is the first four programs in book 77 for those of you out in television, and two more tapings, and then that'll take care of that one again. Time goes so fast. All right, we're going to move on now from where we were in our last program, which, of course, for those of us in the studio, was 4 weeks ago. But for those of you watching the program, it'll either be last night or last week. It's something or other. But the last program we taped, we were on 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, remember, where Paul writes, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed." And we spent the whole program on that outcalling of the body of Christ. And I'm going to keep hammering away at the fact that nowhere in Scripture, except in Paul's epistle, do you see the term the body of Christ. It's unknown to all the rest of Scripture. Peter, James, and John knew nothing of the doctrines of the body of Christ. Jesus knew it, of course, but he didn't reveal the secret because it wasn't time. And so as I approach these things, I always have to emphasize and reemphasize, don't look for anything pertaining to the rapture or the church, the body, any place but in Paul's epistles. It's just not in there. Everything else deals with God and Israel. And everything prophetically is looking forward to the second coming, which is preceded, of course, by the horrors of the tribulation, which we're going to be looking at pretty much in detail this afternoon. Now, like I say so often at my seminars, I never know where I'm going to start until I get up here. And it's pretty much the same today. I've just sort of waited for something to gel. Which remind me, I've got most of the family here today. Over here, Todd and Kim are back from Wisconsin on a little vacation, and they've got their kids with them. And in the center over here is my son Greg and his wife Jeanette, and Jesse's with him too, I see. Good deal. So we've got family. I don't think, well, Laura wouldn't let me put the camera on her anyway, but Laura's in town someplace. She'll be here later this afternoon. So anyway, we just always thank the Lord that the family is in such good support. And, of course, never forget my precious wife over here, my honey. That's the way people address us now, you know, less than honey. So we're all here as family. All right, let's begin a review of the timeline coming all the way from Abraham on up to Christ's first coming and the first advent and his 3 years of earthly ministry. The crucifixion, his burial, resurrection, and then he ascended back to glory and turned everything over to the 12 and continued on with the same modus operandi that was placed here in the 3 years of earthly ministry. But instead of Christ himself being present, he passed all of the powers and everything over to the 12. But Israel continues to reject and reject until you get to the stoning of Stephen. And at the stoning of Stephen, we're introduced then to the next major player, which dropped us down to this point in the timeline, where we open up the dispensation of grace through the Apostle Paul. Now, as soon as the dispensation of grace has come to an end, As we saw then our last program, God has to take the body of Christ out because it will not fit up in the prophetic timeline. So that's why we are pre-trib in our theology, that the church or the body of Christ can have nothing to do with all the prophecies concerning Israel. And so we finish the dispensation of grace, and you can either follow it here or follow it up here. But now we're going to, just like backing up to right up to here, the tribulation is the next event leading up to the second coming in the kingdom. All right, now Psalms chapter 2 is just a brief outline of what I've just covered. All right, Psalms chapter 2, we'll start at verse 1. Why do the heathen, that's the Gentile, why do the Gentiles rage and the people, that's the other category of the human race, Israel, you've only got Jew and Gentile, remember, and so the nation of Israel, imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, in other words, the leadership, in this case, it turns out to be Rome. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers, that is, the religious rulers of Israel, they take counsel together. That's why they brought about the crucifixion. It wasn't the Jews, it wasn't the Romans, it was both of them. And so they took counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, which of course was the Messiah. And they said, let us break their bands asunder. In other words, we're not going to have God interfering in our earthly affairs. And so they cast away their cords from us. Now here's God's reaction. Verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Not amusement, derision. And the Lord shall have them in derision. All right, now that takes care of all human history from the time of Adam past Abraham right on up to the crucifixion when they rejected all of God's offers, and in their own pride and circumstances they said, we'll run the earth our own way. And God says in derision, oh, maybe you won't. And so the next verse says, verse 5, then, that's always a time word. After they've rejected the Messiah, they've put Him to death, and He has ascended back to glory, then He, that is God, shall speak unto them, that is the whole human race, Jew and Gentile, He'll speak unto them in His wrath. Now you see, the psalmist skips this. He knows nothing of this. Why? Because it's spoken of as a secret. God has never revealed this to anyone in the Old Testament. So all the psalmist could talk about is this timeline up here. He is put to death by the Jew and Gentile, and then you come on and they continue to reject, and then the next big event on the timeline is the wrath and vexation, which is going to be directed, as we'll see in a little bit, primarily to the nation of Israel, but it's going to affect the whole world. And He will vex them, and the tribulation is going to be awful. It's beyond human understanding. And He will vex them in His sore displeasure. It's going to be a time of death and destruction, as we saw in our last taping. But then what follows? Verse 6. That's the next event on the prophetic timeline, and that is the kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now, there's the timeline in a nutshell, see? Everything came up leading up to His first advent. They rejected Him. God called Him back to glory. And then in their foolishness, God, in His wrath, is going to come back and vex them in His sore displeasure, leading up to the kingdom. Now again, I'm going to repeat it. Nothing concerning the church age or the body of Christ is my favorite term, the church which is His body. None of this is revealed in the prophecies concerning Israel. We have to start on that point, that you cannot find anything pertaining to the body of Christ anywhere in the Old Testament. It is all a prophetic timeline leading up to the tribulation and, the crucifixion, the tribulation, and then the second coming and the kingdom. All right, now, from there, I think I will take you up to Jeremiah chapter 30. Because what we got to do is identify these 7 years as primarily, not exclusively, primarily a 7-year period of time where God is going to be dealing with His covenant people. And that's why I can't understand how people try to keep putting the body of Christ into the tribulation. God doesn't have a point of controversy with His own body. We're blood bought. He's loved us. He's given Himself for us. Why should He pour out His wrath on us? Well, that's what Paul says. We're not appointed under wrath. That is for Israel primarily because of their unbelief and their rejection of everything and culminating, of course, in the crucifixion. See? All right. Now then, if you'll stop at Jeremiah, and then we're going to go on up to Daniel. Stop at Jeremiah 30 and see how uniquely Jewish this whole period of time is. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 4. Because the first thing we always have to determine is not only who's writing, but what's the next one, Luther? Yeah. Who to? Well, it's to Israel. See? Jeremiah 30, verse 4. Now, this is Jeremiah the prophet writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. Verse 4, and these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and Judah. Now stop a minute. Israel and Judah, that includes how many of the tribes? All of them. See? Too many people today think the 10 tribes disappeared and they're gone and all he's dealing with is Judah and Benjamin. No, no, no. All of Scripture from the time of the captivities, when they come back, are still dealing with the whole nation. Don't ever fall for that false lie that the 10 tribes were lost and all we got left is Judah. No way. And here it is so plain. See, now Jeremiah is writing around, what, 500, 600 B.C.? That's after the 10 tribes, supposedly back in Kings and everything, were taken captive. So don't ever fall for that 10 tribes were lost. The whole nation of Israel is still intact, and it is right as we speak. All right. So these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and Judah. So who are we directing it to? Israel. See? Verse 5. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. See that? That's not a very comforting verse, is it? All right, next verse. Ask now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail or in labor pain, and all faces, men and women, are turned into what? Paleness. Why? From all the mental pressure that... You remember I said that not too long ago? I don't remember where, when, or how, but that the horrors of the tribulation are going to be mental as much as physical. It's going to be beyond comprehension the mental pressures that are going to come on the human race as a result of these plagues and these woes and these judgments. See, now, you know, the feel-good religion people don't want to hear that, do they? Naturally, you're not going to get the multitudes to come in and hear these kind of words. And that's why they're ignorant of it. They don't want to hear it. They got their head in the sand. But see, the Scripture is so blatant. It's coming. See, I think I said it over and over the last taping. If God's Word said it's going to happen, it is going to happen. Now, we're getting closer every day, but we don't know how close. God's wheels turn awfully slow, see? But it's coming, all right? So it's coming to the place where every face will be turned into paleness. Now, verse 7. Alas! Now, remember these words when I get up into Matthew 24 later this afternoon, when the words of the Lord Jesus, and He puts it this way, for then shall be great tribulations such as never been seen on the earth before or up till now. Now, lock all those up into your computer, because this is the beauty of Scripture, that it all fits together. See? All right, verse 7 again. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of whose trouble? Jacob's trouble. Well, in Scripture, who's Jacob? Israel. See? This is going to be 7 years of God dealing primarily with His covenant people. Now, I know the first thing that every one of us are prone to ask is one word. Why? Why such horror on His own covenant people? Well, I think we can answer it the same way I answer when people say, why do you think America is going to face such a serious judgment? Because to whom much is given, much is required. Now look, God has been dealing with the nation of Israel since 2000 B.C., plus another two. That's for 4,000 years, one way or another, God has been dealing with His covenant people. And even to this very day, the very rank and file of the Jewish people are belligerently, what's the word I'm looking for? In unbelief. They will not buy into this. See? And so one day He's going to come down on His wrath on those poor people like we cannot even imagine. All right, so the point I'm making, though, is that this is all part of the Jerusalem or the Jewish prophecy. Has nothing to do with the church age. Nothing. This is all God dealing with Israel, preparing them for His second coming and the kingdom, when finally all the blessings of God will be poured upon the nation like they have never had before. All right, verse 7 again then. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. All right, now we have to be careful. Not the whole nation, but now I want another one. One third. Okay, now turn up with me to Zechariah. Zechariah, and I think I want chapter 13. Now here are two perfectly fitted portions of Scripture. They fit just like a jigsaw puzzle. It's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Not all of them, a remnant. See? And God has always dealt with Israel on the basis of the believing remnant. Always. Now we get the remnant in a mathematical term. See? Zechariah chapter 13, and drop in at verse 8. And we're dealing with the same 7-year period of time, the time of Jacob's trouble. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8. And it shall come to pass. Will it? Absolutely. That in all the land, that is the land of Israel, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Now, that's a horrible statement, isn't it? But it's God's word. It's going to happen. That two-thirds of the Jewish people are going to lose their life in this 7-year period of time. All right? But the third shall be left therein. God's going to protect that third, and He's going to bring them through so that they can come in and enjoy the glories of the kingdom. All right? Verse 9. I will bring the third part through the fire, that is, through those 7 years of hell on earth and then some. And I will refine them as silver is refined. I will try or test them as gold is tested. They shall call on my name. I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. See now the difference? And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now that will be the remnant of Jews that will come through the tribulation and come into the glories of the kingdom. All right, now in the 8 minutes we have left in this half hour, since we're back in the Old Testament, I'm going to take you up to Daniel chapter 9, which I've always called, as you well remember, the benchmark of all Old Testament prophecy. Daniel chapter 9, where, if you remember correctly, we have the time frame of 490 years. Daniel 9, verse 24. Now, this is to establish, again, these two portions of Scripture we just looked at as being a seven-year period of time just as real as 7 years would be today. But beginning in verse 24, the total prophecy is 490 years. Now, we've looked at this over and over. I know we have. So 70 weeks, or 490 years, are determined, that is, decreed by God Himself, upon thy people, which would be Israel, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, that's the work of the cross. Then, the next event that is listed here is to bring in everlasting righteousness, which, of course, is the kingdom. But you see, Daniel, speaking here, has not brought in the tribulation as yet. He's just simply showing that 483 years would take place from the time of Nehemiah's going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city wall until the time of the crucifixion. So that left 7 years of the 490 that were not fulfilled. All right, so God stops His time clock, and then we come down to verse 26. Verse 26 of Daniel 9, "Then after the 62 weeks, plus the other 7 weeks, or the 483 years, Messiah shall be cut off, not for himself, not because of anything he had done, and the people." Now, here's one of the clues for the basic tribulation thing, is that the Antichrist will come. That's the prince that's referred to here. The prince that shall come will come out of the people that shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, we know from 70 AD's history that it was the Roman Empire that destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. So out of that Roman Empire will come this prince, or which we refer to over and over as the Antichrist. Never lose sight of that. See, now today everybody thinks he's going to have to come out of the Muslim world just because of the news. Well, I got news for you. He's going to come out of the old revived Roman Empire, although he may be Muslim, because Europe is just about totally Muslim anyway. So that's no problem. And he could very well be Muslim. He could be a Jewish Muslim. He could be a Syrian Muslim. And he can be just about anything. But he's going to come out of the European Union, one of those government officials whom we will never be able to establish his identity, because that's going to happen after we're gone. All right, now then, verse 27. This prince that's coming, and he's going to come out of the old Roman Empire, or what is today called the European Union. This prince that shall come shall confirm or make a covenant, or I like to use the word treaty, with many for 7 years. Well, now it's obvious from all of our news for the last 40 years, who are the many people in the world that are looking for a peace treaty? Well, the Arab world and Israel. And so this super individual, he's going to be very human, but he's going to have supernatural power, because we now enter into God's timing again of the supernatural. And he will have the supernatural ability to actually bring the Palestinians, the Arab world, into a peace with Israel. It will have to be supernatural. No president on earth could do it. No empire could do it. But God will do it. All right, so this man is going to make a peace treaty with the Middle East, Jew, and the Arab world, for a seven-year period of time. It'll be a seven-year peace treaty. Now, here's the kicker. In the middle of the week, or in the middle of those 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop. Now, I'm always trying to get people to analyze every word and ask questions. Now, if we're going to have a supernatural peace treaty with a length of 7 years between Israel and the Arab world, and now the scripture says that the temple worship will be brought to a stop, before you can stop temple worship, what do you have to do? Well, you got to start it. There's no temple worship today. So again, just by using common sense, what will this seven-year peace treaty bring in? Israel's permission to rebuild her temple. And it's going to be such a supernatural, mind-boggling thing that I'll even stick my neck out. They're going to be able to build it right next to the Golden Dome of the Rock up there on the Temple Mount. I really think that. And I think that temple is sitting in a warehouse in Israel, all prefabbed and ready to be hauled out with a couple semis, and they'll have it up and going in just no time flat. Okay, so now coming back to the timeline, you see, once this 7 years opens up, for the first 3.5 years, Israel is going to have, by virtue of the Antichrist guarantee, the permission to rebuild her temple and go back under the Mosaic law. Everything will be pretty much as you can, hooking up with antiquity, as it was back here in the 3 years before the crucifixion. Israel is going to have temple worship. They're going to have a priesthood. They're going to have peace. They're going to have prosperity. They're just going to be on a euphorian kick, if I can call it that. It's just going to be more than they can handle. All right, this is where it all opens up. That now, once this first 3.5 years has gone by, then this man Antichrist will suddenly turn on Israel, and then read the rest of the verse. And so for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it this newly rebuilt temple. Now remember, it won't be a big gold edifice like Nebuchadnezzar destroyed, or Solomon's temple. It won't be even a temple like Herod's temple. But it's going to be functional. They'll be able to practice their animal sacrifices, and they're already talking about it in Israel. But in the middle of that 7-year treaty, this man Antichrist, the wicked individual that he really is, will turn on Israel and cause the oblations and the sacrifices and all that to stop. All right, we've only got a matter of seconds left, so I don't want to go into another detail, but always remember that as soon as this 7 years opens up, it's the unfolding of prophecy like we've never seen before, and it's going to be under a supernatural umbrella. And those are the things we have to understand.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.